InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
If you're the parent of a teenager, it's vital to communicate with them about topics that may seem difficult or challenging. But those conversations can have positive lifelong effects as your teens grow into adulthood. Here with this story, InfoTrack reporter Jim Anthony. Jim?
Thanks, Chris. Our guest is Joanna Schroeder, journalist and co-author of the new book, Talk to Your Boys, 16 Conversations to Help Tweens and Teens Grow into Confident, Caring Young Men. Joanna, you are the mother of two sons and a daughter. Many parents shy away from the tough talks, friendships, dating, even drugs. Why are those conversations in your mind so important to have?
You know, we know that our kids are curious. That's natural. It's actually developmentally good for them. The problem is they will find information somewhere, usually online or from friends or even less trustworthy adults in their lives, if you don't give it to them first. So we highly suggest people take initiative and get in there early and have a lot of little talks about these important topics.
It can be tricky to tell when a boy's in the mood to talk. That pretty much goes for all teens. But how can parents tell when to lean in and when to give a little space?
You know, what we've learned, we did get to talk to around 85 boys ages 10 to 22 about topics like this. And what they told us was that they usually like to talk in the evening. A lot of times us grown-ups are wide awake in the morning and ready to have a serious talk. And biologically, their circadian rhythms are different. So sometimes they'll be milling about in the late afternoon, kind of when we're stressed coming home from work. Or in the evening after dinner when we'd like to be maybe watching TV or taking some quiet time or even going to bed. And one of our favorite signs that we've noticed in a lot of the kids that we work with and our own boys is that they like to kind of flop down on the couch, sometimes with their phone in front of their faces, when normally they may be up doing homework or in their rooms. So it's kind of that thing where they're hanging out a little bit more than usual. Some of them might do the big exasperated teenage sigh, the big, ah. Some of them, like my son, might clank around in the kitchen. And those are bids for attention and signs that they may need to connect.
To that end, what are some easy ways to get boys talking, especially when they'd rather do anything but chat?
Well, we like to make sure that they know what they're getting into and also that we ask them if it's a good time. I used to think anytime my son was looking at his phone that he was scrolling social media or kind of just doing nothing, playing games. Then I learned that sometimes he's assessing whether he's supposed to be doing homework or he's chatting with a friend who's having a hard time, or sometimes he's even reviewing flashcards when he's studying on his phone. So I've learned, and what the boys that we worked with have told us really helps, is to just ask. Just simply say, hey, do you have a minute? I've got to talk to you about something. And then give a little preview of what it is. So it's saying something along the lines of, it's not serious, but it is important. Do you have a second? Or it's really important and it's kind of serious and it's going to take us around 10 minutes. Because a lot of what is stressful to teenagers when we talk to them is the unknown. It's the sense of, oh my gosh, this could go on forever. Or, oh my goodness, I bet I'm in huge trouble. Or I'm so afraid that mom's mad at me or dad's frustrated again. So just giving them a little preview and seeing if the time is right and then keep it as short as possible. And that can really help them open up. And the biggest tip is to get moving when you need to have a big talk. Take a walk, take a hike, build a tent, play ping pong, you know, strum guitars or do some drumming, whatever your kid is into. Having the movement and not having to stare straight in your face can help them open up.
In the prep material, you indicate, we know that parents will differ in their own personal viewpoints and approaches to a lot of the issues and topics in your book. And that's fine. As you just mentioned, the important thing is to have that conversation.
Yeah. You know, we didn't write a book about values. We wrote a book about how to help your kid learn your family's values and find his own moral compass in the world. We don't want our kids to be so influenced by, you know, internet culture and any random person who's paying for ads on the videos of teenage boys. We want families to be able to connect and raise happy, healthy boys. And we believe that starts with conversation.
But boys do get a lot of mixed messages about what it means to be a man, quote unquote. How can parents help them sort through all that without sounding preachy?
Yeah, that's such a good question, and it's one of the hardest to answer. One thing we know is that our kids respect and admire us, their parents, maybe aunts and uncles and grandparents, more than we realize. We think they are so heavily influenced by their friends and the internet. But if they're given a chance to have someone to look up to in their real lives, someone consistent and caring, those are the people that will make the biggest impression on them. So if you're raising a son and you're married or you're in relationship with his father, or even if there's no man in your life, it's so important to seek out male role models that your son can look up to. I believe I can do a great job talking to my son about masculinity, but I don't know what that experience is like. He looks to his dad and my dad and his uncles to see what it's like to be a man without even realizing he's doing it.
And all emotions are okay, even the messy ones.
Yeah, you know, there's no bad feelings. There are less healthy ways to experience and express them. And this is a hard one for parents of teenagers because teenagers do kind of default to anger more than we wish they would. And one of the reasons we've discovered this happens is because often it's not until they get angry that somebody pays attention to their feelings. So they may be kind of seeming sad or mopey or looking at their phone more. And we just think they're teenagers, so we withdraw instead of engaging. And so anger starts to become a way that a boy can get you to look and say, hey, what the heck is going on? We think you need to seize those moments. But I will also say that too often our boys don't see any adults, but especially not men, modeling how they're processing their feelings in the moment. They see that the adults are hopefully not as angry as teenagers and hopefully not having tantrums, but they don't know how we got to that place. So we always suggest just kind of narrating whenever you have an opportunity. It wouldn't be too weird. It's like, oh, this made me so mad. Maybe when you're driving. Maybe with a bad experience in a store. This is making me so mad. I'm so frustrated. I'm going to take a deep breath because I know that snapping right now will not help anybody. Narrating your own feelings, he doesn't even know he's getting a lesson, but it is one of the most effective lessons we can give our kids in managing their emotions.
Parents often talk to daughters about setting boundaries in relationships, but not always to sons. Why do boys need that conversation too? It seems like it's kind of a double-edged sword here when we talk about setting boundaries, but it would seem to me like it's equally important to establish that not only for daughters, but for sons as well.
Oh my gosh, isn't it such a wild double standard? We expect, you know, most of our girls to be in relationships with boys, and we talk to our girls about the ethics and values of sexuality and being a good partner. And then somehow we don't teach any of this to our boys. So where are they going to learn it? So yeah, we think it's incredibly important. Yes, we believe all kids should be taught about consent, enthusiastic consent. Does that person want to hold your hand? Do they want to kiss you? How will you know whether they want you to go further when you're having a romantic connection? But not just that. It's also, how do you know when you're ready to go further with your romantic connection? How will you know when it feels right to you and when it might just be, you know, attraction? How do you know when you want to, you know, have sex for the first time? Will you wait till you're married? We want them to be thinking about this because a lot of the boys we spoke with felt like they had kind of rushed into sexual relationships in a way that we often don't think boys will ever regret. But no one had ever talked to them about establishing what feels right to them, what feels like a good plan, and what's authentic.
There's a lot of great advice in this book, and I wish you success with it. Joanna Schroeder is our guest, co-author of the new book, Talk to Your Boys, 16 Conversations to Help Tweens and Teens Grow into Confident, Caring Young Men. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
And I'm Jim Anthony for InfoTrack.
Next, protecting yourself from West Nile virus as InfoTrack continues.
Stick around, there's more InfoTrack straight ahead.